Okay. My website is www.pgrosso.net. So go to that. www.pgrosso.net. And Grosser is spelled like that, G-R-O-C-E-R. So it's www.pgrosser.net, okay? And then once you get there, you pick the course you're taking, which is CIS 150, okay? Essentially, this is an SQL class being taught through Oracle, but it's... So we're using Oracle, but in fact, a lot of our time we will spend on SQL, learning SQL, and then at the end of the semester, we'll move on to PLSQL, which is the programming language using SQL, okay, that is used by Oracle. So this is the information that you need to know. First of all, you have three options of how you can do this. You can download a full version of Oracle, which they have available at their site. You can work in our labs with Oracle, or you can use PuTTY and go in through Oracle. And we will get into those different ways of doing it on Thursday. Today, I'm mainly going to talk about relational databases and that kind of thing, and then we'll actually start the SQL more on Thursday and talk about the class. If you go through here, the syllabus is out there, and the important thing in the syllabus is the percentages, which are here someplace, yes. Okay, 80% of your grade is based on stuff we do, or you do. Homework, programming, quizzes, all that sort of stuff is 80% of your grade. 10% of your grade is being responsible. That means getting homework in on time more than anything else. You know, asking questions when you have them so that you can get homework in on time, and that sort of thing. With homework, I correct it or I look at it, and if it is mostly right or all right, I grade it. If not, I give you comments about where you went off and I send it back to you so that you get to fix and resubmit. Okay? And if you don't get a grade, then that's what you've got to do. You've got to fix and resubmit. Okay, the goal here is for you to learn the stuff. So if you get it wrong and you don't fix it, then what have you learned? So essentially, you can resubmit as many times as you want. And basically, I'm interested in you getting it right. I will try to get things back within a few days or at least within a week. But I have 160 students all passing in homework. And so occasionally I have a life too and I get behind. So I will try to keep up, but as I said, 160 students is a lot. There are 31 in this class. You would never know it, but there are 31 in this class. And then 10% of your grade is the final. This is a student option course, which means it can be taken either exclusively online or exclusively coming to class every week or a mix and match of sometimes in class, sometimes online. Okay, so it's your choice how you want to do that. Therefore, everything is available online. You could take this course in California. So the final is also an online final. Okay, everything is done online. So you have a choice of being either in class or online. Questions? Okay. Um, Okay. I am recording you.
And I will record you every class. I record the lecture. And so you are being recorded if you happen to say anything. Okay? And I will post the recordings online under audio. Okay, so under audio, I will post the things. And I also will take pictures of the screen and will post those. And I just remembered that I didn't... So where... Smartboard, okay. I got to remember what to do with this. Nope, that's not doing it. There. Yes. Okay, we can do that. So if I take a picture of the screen, then I supposedly have captured it. Okay. So hopefully I just took a picture of the screen, and hopefully it is now showing up on SmartBoard. Yes, it did. Okay, so that's what I do now that I remember what to do. And I take a picture of the screen, and so the things that are up here that I write notes on or anything like that will also be available. Okay, so essentially the audio notes are over here under audio, and those are from last semester. I keep up the old ones, so that if by any chance I am out someday or the recording doesn't work or whatever doesn't work, it's probably going to be very similar to what I talked about when I covered it the year before or the semester before. So you can just look at that if you're an online student especially. And the SmartBoard presentations are there. Now, I do them separately as opposed to together. And the reason is that a lot of people want the SmartBoard notes but don't want to listen to the audio if they were already here. They just want to capture the notes. So I do them separately. So it takes a little bit of getting used to turn on the audio and then figure out when to click on the next SmartBoard notes, but it's doable. Okay? So all of those are put out. I will end up putting them out usually the night, tonight or tomorrow morning. So they're available usually within 24 hours. Okay? And again, sometimes I end up doing something where I don't get them out right away. Okay? So that's those. The notes and handouts are the main thing that we are going to go through. And these notes are from fairly old versions, a few versions ago, but SQL is SQL is SQL, and so basically it's the same. They haven't changed SQL. When they issue a new version of Oracle, they usually change the user interface. They may have added a few extra features in Oracle, but there aren't that many. So here are the notes that we will go through a lot. And each note has an accompanying PowerPoint presentation that you can also look at. Okay, so do you need a textbook? It's up to you. If you want to get a basic Oracle textbook, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. On the syllabus, I put two books that I thought were good books. So if you're looking for a book, those are two that are helpful. This is an older version of Oracle, but the SQL is the same, and it is a good write-up. We're using 12C now, I believe, and this is 11G, but that's very similar.
Okay.
So if you want to get a textbook, those would be two textbooks that I have found that I like. But any book you want to get, if you want to get a textbook, feel free. But in fact, the homework and the exams and everything is going to be pretty much based on the notes. Okay, so, and anything that you can't find in the notes, that's what the internet's for. There's a gazillion Oracle sites out there that you can go and reference and find out the information that you need to know.
Okay. This is the weekly schedule. And I basically put up over the weekend by Monday the information for the coming week. That doesn't mean I won't add to it. In fact, I don't have an assignment up here yet. I will put up an assignment later in the week. The assignments get put up by the end of the week. They're due the following Thursday. Okay, so any assignment that I put up this week is due next Thursday. Okay, and that 10% of being responsible is what kicks in if I don't get assignments on time. I don't subtract from the actual grade of the assignment. I subtract in the responsibility of 10%. So, these are the notes, and it says week one, week of September 6th. Only I think it was the 5th, but that's all right. And when I put up week two, I do not subtract week one. So it's still there, and at the end of the semester, there will be an entry for every week. So I don't subtract them. You can go back. I take late homework. I just ding you a little bit on the 10% for being a responsible student. But I will take late homework. Okay. Questions. Okay, there's a lot of information about installation and login over here. And this was installing 12C. This is using Tutty. And essentially, you want to start at the bottom. The ones up there are the older versions, but sometimes people still have older versions. So, as I said, I will go over this more on Thursday when we start looking at SQL and Oracle more. Okay, I think that's about it. Anybody got any questions? You're making me nervous. I should have questions. Yeah, thank you.
I've got my MySQL on my computer today. Can you install Oracle on a number?
Say that again.
I've got MySQL on my computer. Should I just?
Yes, you need to have Oracle on that one or another one. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay, just go through money.
But you got to go through Oracle and install it and go through. No, you can't use MySQL if that's what you're asking.
Oh, okay.
For this course, you have to use Oracle. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. I'm going to then start talking about normalization, third normal form, relational databases, and all that good stuff. Because you're going to be, what you're going to be doing is creating tables. Now, if you're out in the real world, you would be setting up a database and then creating tables within the database. We have it set up such that your work is all one database. So you are putting tables that may have to do with payroll and tables that may have to do with inventory or whatever, all in the same database, which obviously you wouldn't do if you were out in the real world. So we are talking about setting up a database and the tables for it, and again, that would just be part of the database that you have. Okay, so you've been set up with your own personal database. You should have gotten an Oracle information, a login information, and all of that kind of stuff.
I didn't know whether it was going to be sent out yet or not. Sometimes it gets sent out the first day of classes, but I believe it got sent out Friday. You got it? Okay. So that we will go over on Thursday. But for now, what we're going to talk about is how you relate the tables if you have multiple tables. Okay? So I've got a set of definitions here. Relational databases have a certain design, and they are designed in a way where you have normalization going on. And there are more than three rules, but the three rules are the basics that are usually used. So when you design a database that has multiple tables, you have to follow these rules. Okay? A relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, so if you have set up a table, you can't have repeating groups within that table, or it doesn't meet the rules for a relational database. And the reason is pretty obvious. If, for example, you're a student, and on your student table, we put in the courses that you're taking. Well, you know enough about tables that each piece of information is going in a field on the table. Okay, so I have a field where I have that you're taking CIS 120, and another field that says you're taking CIS 121. And when I design that table, I have to set up all these fields. So that would mean that I have to decide how many courses you're going to be able to take. And if I decide you can take 30 courses, then the table will have 30 slots for the courses you're taking, and another 30 slots for the grade you got in them. The problem is, when you want to take the 31st course, I say, sorry, you're full. You can't have the 31st course. And so that's why you can't have repeating groups, because when you get to the repeating groups, you have to pick a max. And the table has to be restructured if you go over the max. Okay? So that's why you can't do that. Now, what you can do is, I set up a student table, and I have the student ID, and I have the student name, and all of that good stuff. And then I set up a table that is student courses. And so for every course that the student is taking, I put their ID, I put the course number that they're taking, and I put the semester maybe that they took it in and the grade they got. So every time a student takes a course, I put an entry into the student courses table, which means there's no limit. They can take 100 courses. Because I just put in the student ID, the course number, the semester they took it, and the grade they got in it. And so that is the repeating group. And if I had taken and put that in over here, then I would need the slots for course number, semester, grade, course number, semester, grade, course number, semester, grade, and I'd have to pick a maximum. And when they hit that maximum, they couldn't take any more. Okay? I always tell the story about I placed an order at one point and I wanted to order 7 or 8 things. And when I got to 5, the woman said, thank you for your order. And I said, but I'm not done. I've got some more. And she said, I'm sorry, I can't take any more. And I said, but I want some more. And so she said, all right. And I had to give her my name, my address, and all of the information about me, because she set up a whole new record.
a whole new record on the table. And then she put in the 6th, 7th, and 8th items on that. But clearly she was set up working with a table that only allowed me to purchase 5 things, that only had slots for 5 different things that I was purchasing. And so when I wanted more than 5, she had to set up another record. And if I wanted more than 10, she would have had to set up a 3rd record. And so I would end up with all of these records about me, all with my name and address on them, etc. And they would all have been separate orders that had been shipped separately and all the rest. Okay. Instead, they could have had a customer table and a table that had what I wanted to order, 1 record for each thing that I wanted to order. And that would have worked. Questions? Okay, so that relates to the idea of a relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay? Now, a relationship is in, and how did you know that was
happening
again?
I thought it
because all of a sudden you're clearing out space for our perpetually late students. Hi, Zach. Okay. So, the second one says a relationship is in second normal form if it is in first normal form, and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. You're right.
Okay, so what that means... is that if I come back here,
I have to first think about establishing a primary key. Okay? So over here in the student, I'm going to say that this is the primary key. Okay? Every table is going to have a primary key. And the definition of a primary key is that it will uniquely identify a record. Okay? So student ID is fine for the student table. I will put their information about the student. So I will put information such as their address, their major, other information about the student. But it all relates to the student. And so it relates to the student ID. Now, that means, again, since it has to uniquely define a record, over here, student ID is not the key, or it is only part of the key, because the student ID does not define the record over there. If you're taking 30 courses, you're going to have 30 records with the same student ID, so it's not uniquely defining the record. Let's say that I have a course table, and on it I have the course number, the course name, the number of credits for the course, or something like that. Course number is the primary key here, because everything is about the course number. The course name is about the course name for that course. The credits are how many credits that course has, and any other information that I want about the course. So, over here on the student course table, I have telling me what student ID, that relates to that, what course number, this relates over to this. And then, there is the unfortunate circumstance where the student failed or withdrew, and they might want to take the course over again. And so I need to put in the semester information. Semester year, actually, would be better. I need to put in the semester year information so that they can take the course a second time. If I just said the student and the course number, they couldn't take the course a second time if I make the key
And my key on this is going to be three different fields brought together to uniquely identify the record.
The student ID, followed by the course number, followed by the semester and year that they took it. Okay? So this identifies uniquely each record on there. Each record is going to have, when I put those three things together, it is going to uniquely define the record. The student ID, the course they took, and when they took it. Okay? So I will never have two records that try to have the same ID. Now, the data that I carry on the table has to relate to the whole ID. And grade does. Grade relates to what student took what course, what semester. So grade relates to the entire ID. What I could not do is put the course name up here. Let's say I tried to put the course name in here. Course name relates only to the course number. It doesn't relate to the entire key. So I can't have that. That does not relate to the entire key. And that's what they were saying in that second normal form, is the data on here has to relate to the entire key. Okay? Questions?
Actually, I don't quite know why I took a picture of that. That's all right.
Now, the third thing is, well, let's go back to the rules. So that was the rule that a relation is in second normal form if it's in first normal form, and no non-key attribute, a field that's not part of the key, is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. So the course name, when I tried to put that on, was dependent on only the course number, which was part of the primary key. So I couldn't have the course name there. I couldn't have anything about the student, like the student name, because that would have only been one. Okay? So that's the second normal form. Questions? You're not all totally understanding this. Let's be honest. Questions? So maybe you've heard it before. Okay. A relationship is in third normal form if it is in second normal form, and if the only dependent determinants it contains are candidate keys.
Okay.
So, if I had put in here Social Security number, that is a candidate key. So if I put in Social Security number, okay, that's a candidate key. And in fact, way back when, we used to use Social Security number as student IDs. It's totally illegal, but we did. Maybe it wasn't illegal back then, but now it's totally illegal. But it could be a candidate key because it uniquely identifies the record. So that's what they mean by a candidate key. Now, if I put major name in here, major name is dependent on the major, and it changes on the major. It is not dependent on the student ID. So that's another one that I can't have because it is dependent. It is related to the major name. It's not related to the student ID. It's not related to the primary key. If I want to have something about the major,
then I can set up another table and I can put in it my major and my major name. So if I need to know what the major name is, I can use this major code to link in over here to the major, and then I can find out what the major name is. I can't put it on the table because the major name is related to the major.
Think about the practical part of that. The major you're in is computer information systems. That's a lot to type in, okay?
And if I had to type it in for every single student, that's a lot to type rather than putting the code, which is CI. And then if I really want to know the name, CI can relate over to here, and I can find CI in the major table and grab the name.
More importantly, think about when, if you decide you want to change the name of the major, okay?
If I want to change the major name of a major, I'd have to go in and change it on every single record. However, doing it this way, I change it once, and the name has been changed.
Okay, so there's just very practical reasons for doing all of this stuff that we're doing inside designing a relational database. Okay. And we have talked about this for 15 minutes. We'll talk a little bit more about it. There are, needless to say, whole courses on designing a relational database. It is a very complex thing. Usually it is done by a team as opposed to individual just designing the database. And the team is usually made up of technical people and people that know the needs of what you're going to have to handle when you're processing, in this case, students. People that work in the registrar's office, people that work in the financial office, etc. So that you get input from all areas that are going to be using this database and not just the technicians. Okay? And so a team gets formed of people that will be using the database and people that are designing the database. And the database gets put together from that. Questions, comments? Okay. This particular article, for example, normalization, was an article that I thought actually just did a really good job of explaining this. They've got a section on first normal form, second normal form, third normal form. It's an article that I suggest you read because I think it does a good job of explaining it. Okay, the next thing I'm going to look at is information on third normal form. So here I described some vocabulary that's used. An entity is a thing. An attribute is a property of an entity. So an attribute of a person is their name. An attribute of a donation is an amount. And entity relationships is how the two entities relate to each other. You can have a one-to-one relationship, which we'll talk about, a one-to-many relationship, or a many-to-many relationship. Functional dependency means one can determine another. If one changes, then the other changes.
A primary key we've talked about, allows you to get one and only one record from a table.
A foreign key is something that relates the two tables.
So a foreign key is an element or attribute on one table that links to the primary key on another table. And we talked about a candidate key, for example, the Social Security number.
If I go back and look at my example again, okay.
A foreign key. Student ID is part of the primary key. It is also a foreign key that links over to that primary ID. So this is also a foreign key that links over to there. And this is a foreign key that links into here. So this is also a foreign key, okay? Major links into the major code over here. And so that is also a foreign key. So the foreign key is the thing that links the tables together.
And if you've got multiple tables, you want to be able to link between those two tables so that you can grab information from both tables. Okay, so you want to be able to grab information from both tables, and the foreign key gives you that linking. Okay. So one of the things that people have trouble with is the idea that student ID is part of
the primary key, but it also can be a foreign key. And a foreign key links to another primary key.
Okay. Okay. So I've got, and this is a table.
This is some information that is similar to a lot of the examples that I did in the Oracle. I want to carry information about donations to my charity or whatever it is that I'm getting donations for, okay? And this is the information that I want to carry. I want to have an ID number, information about the person, the date they first donated, my goal for them, and information about the drive that they donated to, and all of that stuff.
So that's the collection of data that I want. Now I have to take that collection of data and break it down into the tables that I will set up to store that information. Okay? So I'm going to start out over here. Okay. First of all, I have to think about the fact of repeating groups.
And the relationship between them. Okay, the nature of the data is a one-to-many relationship between the donor and the donations, or at least I hope so. I hope that every donor will give multiple donations. Okay, so that is a one-to-many relationship. For every donor, I want multiple contributions or donations. And so that makes it a one-to-many relationship. Okay? So I have, this is the information more about the donations. This is the information about the donor. So I've started thinking of it that way.
I need the donor information and the donation information. Well, it's going to turn out that I actually need to have more than two tables when I really look at the donation information. Okay, so here I've got my donor information,
and my donor information has my ID as the primary key, name, address, the date they first donated, the goal that I have for them, and the contact person for them. Okay? And the primary key is the donor information. Then I will set up the donation information, and I'm going to continue on with that. But the donation information has to have the ID number, because I have to be able to tie each donation to the person who gave it. Okay, so I'm going to have the ID number, the amount of the contribution, the date of the contribution, the drive number it was made to. But wait a minute, now I'm getting into information about the drive. And I don't want to carry that information on the donation table. Okay, because that's about the drive. It's kind of like what I was explaining a few minutes ago about the major. And the major, the student had a major, but then there was a lot of information about the major itself. Here I've got a lot of information about the drive, and this information relates to drive, not to the ID. So I've got to pull this and put it in another table. Okay, so I'm going to pull that and put it in another table.
Okay, I know I can bring that up eventually. Okay, so now I've said, first I need to determine the key on the table, the identification number of the donor alone. Identification number of the donor alone does not provide a key, because the donor can make multiple donations. The identification number along with the drive number defines the key only if each donor can only give to a drive one time. If we're going to let the donor give multiple times, then we need the date. Okay? So my key is going to be made up of the ID, the drive number I contributed to, and the date of the contribution. And the only field that relates to that key is the amount of the contribution. The information down below about the drive name relates to the drive number, not to the entire key. So I'm going to end up having a table made up of these four elements. Okay. And it's a lot like the one that I did in a minute ago with the grade. Okay, so I've got the donor information, the primary key is made up, the amount of each contribution is part of there, but now I need to take and pull out the drive information and put that on another table. And so I end up with the donor information, the donation information, which has three parts of the key and the amount of the contribution, and the drive information, which has the drive number, which relates to that, the drive name, chairperson, how much it made last year, how much it made this year. Okay. So these two relate, and these two relate. And so that's how I relate my tables. Okay. So if I need information from all three tables, the identification number matches on two of them and the drive number matches on two of them. And as long as I have matching things, I can get in and access it. Because I can say, basically, get me the drive information for this drive number. And it will go in and find that drive number. Give me the donation information for that ID number, and it will go in and bring up all the records with the same ID number. So
so I can go in and access and bring those up. And that's where we'll get into SQL, is SQL will be how I will write the information that says relate these two tables together based on the ID number. Relate these two tables together based on the drive number. Relate all three tables, but relate one, two of them by ID number and two of them by drive number. And it will let me relate as many tables as I want.
Questions? And then the last one says, okay, if I wanted more information about the contact person,
I can't put a contact name and a contact phone number in here. I would have to set up information about the contact person. So I could keep the contact ID and set up a new table with that as the primary key, and then put the name and the phone number in over there. But I can't carry them over here because they relate to the contact ID, not to the person's ID.
Questions? Okay, and then I'm going to look at the second PowerPoint.
This one is talking about the relationships, that you can have a one-to-one, a one-to-many, and a many-to-many relationship. Okay? For example, on the one-to-one, if you keep name, address information on one table and tax information on another, then you can relate them.
Essentially, what I'm saying with a one-to-one, a one-to-one relationship. Let's say, for some reason, I decided that I wanted to keep my employee information on two tables. This one would have name, address information. So that one would be more open to everybody. It would have name, address, what job they had, more general information. And let's say over here, I wanted to keep information like salary and bonuses and stuff that I felt was more confidential. Okay? So I have each employee has a record on each table, and so that is a one-to-one relationship. Okay, there will be a record on each table for each employee. And one of them is the more confidential information, one of them is the more open information. Okay, so I have a one-to-one relationship there. One-to-many we've been looking at. One-to-many is one donor making many donations, one student taking many courses. That's a one-to-many relationship. Okay? And the many table is going to have multiple parts of the key. It's going to have multiple parts of the key. So there's the employee information. I forgot I'd actually had it up here. There's the one-to-one. I thought I'd skip that. Okay. Here is the one-to-many, where I've got one employee, so John Doe, made many donations. Okay, so the 111 is the donor ID. Okay, and then I have a drive, and then I have a date, and then I have the amount of the contribution. Okay, so on this one, I have, let's see, the drive number maybe is those three digits, and then your date is 05-12-02, and then the amount of the contribution is 500 or 50,000, depending on what I'm doing decimal places.
Now, a many-to-many relationship. Okay, there's another one-to-many, where I've got inventory and a vendor. Okay, so the vendor, I have individual table for the vendors, but the vendor's going to be selling me more than one inventory item. So vendor number is going to show up on multiple tables in my inventory, because I will be buying multiple things from that vendor. This is a many-to-many relationship.
And it's one of the better examples that I've seen. It is, I've got a movie table, and I've got a star table. Okay? A movie table has got the names of the movies in them and information about the movie. The star table has information about the person, the star. Now, my problem is that a movie is going to have many stars, or can have many stars, so then I get into repeating groups, because I would have to carry multiple stars over here, if there were multiple stars in the movie. Well, again, I run out of cells, I run out of fields, and I can only say, okay, I've got a maximum of 10. When you fill up the 10, sorry, the 11th person is not a star. Okay? So I can't carry the stars over there. A star, presumably, is a star because they've been in multiple movies. I can't carry the multiple movies over here. So I make what is called a bridge table. And the bridge table has the movie number combined with the star number as the key. And then I put information that relates to both parts, like the salary. So this is the salary that this movie paid that star for their role in the movie.
So the bridge table is constructed by me.
It's not new data particularly, although salary is, but it's constructed by me when I realize that I can't carry the star on the movie table and I can't carry the movie on the star table. So I've got a dilemma. And the solution is to make what we call a bridge table that bridges between the two.
Okay, and the only information I can carry on the bridge table is information that is about that star's role in that movie. The star's role in a particular star's role in a particular movie. Okay. Questions?
And then I did one with the student table that is very similar to the one that I did. So you can look at that one as well. questions? Okay. Next class, we will start looking at Oracle, so please bring your ID and your password. When you're in here, you can just use our version of Oracle. At home, you have the three choices. Or at home, you have two choices. You can install Oracle, and it's a pain in the neck, folks. I'm telling you. At least, if you make a mistake, be very, very careful. Because if you make a mistake, it leaves footprints all over the place. And getting rid of everything and uninstalling it is not trivial. So just be careful. You can also use PuTTY, which is, you can use PuTTY to access into our computers and use Oracle here via PuTTY. Okay, so you can use your version of Oracle via PuTTY. So, you know, I have it installed at home. I prefer it that way because it's faster and easier, and I don't have to deal with PuTTY, which is not my favorite thing in the whole wide world. But I also have PuTTY set up just so I can keep reminding myself how to do it. So either way works. Okay, now PuTTY, the advantage of PuTTY is it gets you access in here, so anything you created in class is available to you. Okay. All righty, I'm done. If you have any questions, we've got about 15 minutes left, so you can stay and ask questions. But we're done. You two need to be talking to... Yeah.
Who were you talking to?